Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, I'd like to take a second to shout out the network that helps distribute our show, Armchair Media. Armchair is a collection of 50 plus podcasts, including ours, trying to localize the sports world a bit more. We've been with them for, I don't know, like 6 months or so, but we have really enjoyed working with Andrew and the rest of the team. Saints Happy Hour podcast, you guys have heard us talk about them in the past, but starting June 1st, Bet Online will serve as the title sponsor for Armchair Network, as well as our show. Pretty cool, right? Gone are the days of mowing our respective lawns. Now we are on to online sports gambling. So I guess that's a step forward. Also, I want to shout out the Nine Club. It's the world's largest skateboarding podcast, hosted by professional skaters Chris Roberts and Kelly Hart. Perhaps Kevin knows who they are. You can follow them at the Nine Club. To see all things Armchair, search Armchair Media wherever you get your pods, and make sure to check out Armchair's website, ArmchairMediaNetwork.com.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdrights.com and Bleacher Report, Preston Ellis. Today, Ali Cosell and I are joined by Fox Sports NOLA broadcaster and Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman, who's been very patient with us. Thank you so much for joining us, Nancy. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. For everybody out there, I hope you're healthy, you're hanging in there, and your families are okay.
Now, you were just telling us off the air that you're in some of the best shape of your life and you're ready to lace them back up and get back on the floor. You want to tell us a bit about that?
Well, that, you know, if Mike Tyson can come back. No, I'm only kidding. But I, you know, in Dallas, where it hasn't been too bad. The weather here the last couple months has been really great, and we've been able to at least go out and run and ride bikes and hit tennis balls, and you know, but social distancing, whatever the governor told us to do, we did. Wearing gloves, I had a mask. If I'm in open spaces now, I don't wear a mask. If I'm in, you know, Home Depot or, you know, Costco, I'm wearing a mask. So I'm just trying to do the best I can. You know, I fall into that group, you know, that age range, even though I'm in, you know, great shape, I'm in that range, and I'm doing everything I can to mitigate me getting sick, and have taken tests. My son TJ has taken tests. Everybody's negative.
Oh, that's great news. Yeah, Nancy, I'm so glad you bring that point up, because I'm curious, if the NBA season does resume, how excited would you be in returning and working in some capacity, or, you know, going into the bubble itself?
I don't think that's going to happen, to be quite honest. I think it's going to be a limited number of people per team. I actually like the format, you know, I think it was maybe the top 16 teams, but, you know, maybe there's a couple playoff teams that are on the fringe that can play in. I think I agree with Dame Lillard. I love that concept if it can be worked out. Again, this is just me opining. I think staffs, you know, even if you have 16 teams or 20 teams, I mean, all you have to do is just, you know, do the math. There's the traveling party is absolutely huge. So I don't know. I mean, if you have 35 people per team, I don't know what that number is going to be by the league, but you're looking at 20, you know, you're looking at 700 people. That's just for support staff, that's the players, your coaches, your trainers, your PR, your this, your that. And then, you know, now they're talking about having some family. If each player can have one or two, whatever that number ends up being, I don't know. But there's a lot going on, and I just can't see it just bringing, you know, 50, 60 people per team. I just don't see that happening, but I'm just watching the guidelines like you guys are.
Yeah, Nancy, there's a couple of proposed formats. You were just speaking about potentially playing in those four remaining teams. And Brian Windhorst of ESPN said today that the Pelicans are in. They're going to put them in some fashion. They don't know exactly what fashion yet. My concern is this, Nancy. If you do the standard playoff format and let's say one player contracts the contagion, well, then you can isolate that team, potentially the other team they're playing, and kind of take a step back. By doing this group play-in format or this World Cup thing that Kevin O'Connor proposed on the floor, any one player who contracts the disease might play multiple teams within a week, as many as four. Does that create a concern for you? Do you think we're overthinking this? What would your perspective be in terms of finishing the regular season and playoffs?
Well, we can never overthink death. And we know that there's been over 100,000 in the United States of America. It's very real. You know, I talked to Patrick Ewing the other day. I'm glad, you know, Pat's out of the hospital. But it's very real, this. And the most important thing is the health of the players, coaches, and anybody who's in that bubble. We don't know. I think that's the toughest thing, is we don't know. You can't project. If I'm doing a business deal and I give you a budget and I have plan A, B, and C, if we have this many fans, if we have that many fans, there's a way to quantify that. But this is an invisible disease that, you know, discriminates against nobody. Everybody is fair game. So we don't know. And what about the players that are coming back from Europe? Like you're saying, I'm sure the league and the Players Association, you know, Michelle and Chris Paul and everybody, I'm sure they're taking all this into consideration. I mean, it's crazy. Every day is new. There's no roadmap. Every day has risk, whether it's thought of, if people think it's fake, it's real on some level. But I like everybody else, I'd love to see people, you know, start making money. There's hundreds of thousands, billions of dollars at stake. And I want the players to earn a living. I want people to get back to work. I really do. I want a healthy economy and I want to help grow it. But how we do it is unknown right now. I don't think I answered your question, by the way.
No, I think that was
perfect, I think. But let's move on to just discussing the actual formats, as Preston just alluded to. Let's say, for instance, if the NBA decides not to go the traditional route, but do some kind of expanded format. How excited would you be if the Pelicans made the playoffs, and what do you think it would do for the team?
If the Pels made the playoffs, I think it would just be outstanding. This is a team who, on paper, you know, the Grizzlies have the toughest last 18, 19 games. And, you know, for the Pelicans, they had one of the best. I mean, you heard it from Alvin, you know, often. Uh-huh. You know, November, December, early January was just a witch because they were playing the best. They were playing playoff teams. This is a team that is on a roll, you know. I mean, going into that last game, you know, we did the pregame show. Aaron Hardigan and I did the last pregame show when the Kings were playing the Pelicans. And this is a team that was riding high. They had won, you know, they split their last 10 games. They had won two in a row. And it was just, you know, favorable. So if you sit there and you just kind of look at the schedule going forward, it was pretty amazing, the confidence that they had in each other. It was really cool. I mean, if they could have played that game, that last game in Sacramento, that's a winnable game. The Jazz game was, you know, that's a 50-50 game because Jazz are, you know, they're so good in Salt Lake. The Clipper game was going to be tough. But then they came home, you know, they came home, a winnable game against the Hawks, a winnable game against the Spurs, and a great opportunity in Memphis to play the Grizzlies. And then again, they got the Grizzlies twice at the end of the season. They were able to play the Kings again. They had the Knicks, again, Atlanta, and Washington on their schedule. Are you kidding? This is beautiful stuff going into that last week.
Yeah, for sure. 538 had them at 60% odds of making the playoffs. Ollie, how do I sound?
Perfect now.
Great. All right, Nancy, had a little couple of technical difficulties heading up to this. But Nancy, just in terms of this play-in format, Brian Windhorst also alluded to the reason that the NBA is trying to insist on getting these four teams might not necessarily just be about the fairness that you were just speaking of. We know the Pelicans had a very viable shot. Yeah, money. Getting these guys
in. 70
games, and not just that, it appears that the NBA is really pushing hard to get Zion in. We all know what a big ticket item he is, the number one overall pick, 30 nationally televised games. Just what does it say to you that the NBA is working this hard to try to propel one star into this format, and then he happens to play for New Orleans?
It's not anything that hasn't happened before. When Bird and Magic were playing, they were vital to the league. When MJ came along, he was vital to the economics of the league. Now turning the corner, you know, Ja and, you know, some of these young guys, superstars like Zion, are really important to the league. Because a lot of the, you know, this is a very top-heavy league of future Hall of Famers. You know, you have LeBron, who's, you know, to me on that Mount Rushmore of the greatest ever. Chris Paul, you know, Carmelo Anthony. I might be, you know, missing some, but there's some incredible guys who are going to be in Springfield getting enshrined one day. So these young guys are just bringing a whole nother generation. And, you know, what Zion has done is phenomenal. His teammates love him. There's no jealousy. You know, Ingram was having a great year. And when Zion came back, he was still having a great year. But somebody has to sacrifice for the good of the team. And they've done that. And look, Alvin Gentry doesn't get enough credit for the job he has done. You know, David Griffin put this, you know, roster together and made some pretty unbelievable moves in short notice to be competitive, because every other team in the league is trying to make the playoffs, and some have been cellar dwellers for years. So what David Griffin did is nothing short of amazing. And then you have the right coach for the right job, and Alvin Gentry, he has an incredible rapport with his players. You know, I watch them in practice. I see how hard they work. I see how the veterans are great leaders. And then, you know, it's that chemistry, and there's no mistaking what chemistry means. Chemistry and timing to a team, and the Pelicans have it right now. So yeah, the league is smart. Why would you not want Zion Williamson, you know, in the playoffs?
Yeah, and Damian Lillard, right? I mean, he's a walking playoff highlight. We've seen seemingly playoff after playoff. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I think the fans need to be brought in, and you know, they've had a slip in first round viewership. Now, granted, last year LeBron James wasn't even in, right? Lakers didn't make the playoffs, so that hurt. But in general, I know that Adam Silver, that has really been interested in making everything a little more exciting, and doesn't seem like there's a better time to try something different than now. So, Nancy, this is what I'm curious about. There's a lot of people that are still traditionalists. So they say no matter what route the NBA goes, even if they bring back just a traditional format, they're still going to place an asterisk next to this season. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's fair to somehow downplay this season? Kind of like what Phil Jackson did, if you remember, a long time ago with the Spurs, like about 20 years ago.
No, there is no asterisk. You know, there's no asterisk next to Julius Erving's name on the all-time scoring list in the NBA, even though he scored, you know, 10, I don't know how many points, maybe 10,000 points in the ABA. Mm-hmm. No, it merged. It merged in, and that's the way it should be. You know, I mean, companies merge every day, and they don't put an asterisk saying, okay, we merged, or we changed our name. It's just, we're in the business of sports. It's a trillion-dollar industry worldwide, more than that. And things happen. And I would love to see a champion this year, because quite frankly, you know, obviously I'm pulling for the Pelicans, but LeBron James has busted his behind for 17 years. I want to see if he can win another championship, because this last dance, 10 hours, put Michael Jordan right where he's supposed to be at the top of the mountain. It made people remember. You know, I sound like an old person. We just want to be remembered for what we've done in our careers. You know, I mean, I love that people think of me as a coach, because that's what I am. But I was a player first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, winning championships is not easy. And for LeBron to have a chance to win another championship, that would be absolutely remarkable. And look, the Lakers put that team together. That's crazy what Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss have done there, to be able to get those players, fit them in the salary cap, kind of put some chemistry in the hands of the players. Frank Vogel doesn't get enough shine. Tremendous coach. And then you have, you know, the LeBron effect. So I think there's, you said something about, you know, this is very unprecedented. You know, I have a friend who was a season ticket holder when I played in the WNBA in 97. And Bob turned 97 about 4 weeks ago. And I said, Bob, like, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen in your lifetime? He says, I've been through 2 world wars. I've been through the swine flu, the bird flu, polio. He goes, this is the most devastating thing I have ever seen happen in our country. So I'm going to accept, you know, Bob Matchess's wisdom at 97 and experience. So why not experiment today? Instead of using this format at Summer League, which has been fun, they usually experiment with the G League or Summer League. Now the A team, you know, the varsity gets to put it out on the floor and see exactly how it works with the best players in the world. No time better than now. If you want to have a rule change, if you want to, you know, just put something in the name of making the league better, you know, and you mentioned about the purist. I'm a purist. I believe in rules. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in structure. But I also like the designated hitter. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there's some purists who think it's blasphemy to have a designated hitter in the American League. Or, you know, you know, to have a bye in the playoffs, or to have a team, you know, play a play-in game. I'm all for what's for the betterment of the game, and we have to continue to move forward, even if some people are comfortable being in mud.
Absolutely, Nancy. Thank you so much for your time. I've got one more for you. If the Pelicans do manage to do this, I just want to get some of your expectations for what they'd conceivably able to do. You mentioned the job that Alvin Gentry's done. You mentioned just how great some of the Pelicans' young players have been, as well as their veterans. But realistically, if they do usurp these other 4 bottom feeders, make their way into the playoffs, face the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round, what shot do you give them?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. You've seen this throughout, you know, your career in what you're doing. But this, it's like the NCAA tournament. If you get hot, a hot team can get on a roll and win. You know, the way Lonzo was playing, the way Derek, you know, everybody's fitting into their roles right now. Josh Hart has been amazing. Absolutely amazing what he's been able to do. So, you know, there are guys right now, Drew Holiday has been rock solid. Ingram an all-star and, you know, for a good portion of the season, you could have put him up there in the MVP conversation. So this is a really great team. JJ has, you know, put his handprint on this team, of course, with, you know, what Drew has done. And Zion's, he's an emerging superstar. I mean, we're just seeing a glimmer of who he really is. So could they compete against the Lakers? Absolutely, they could compete against the Lakers. There's no doubt in my mind. And you have a coach sitting on a bench who has a championship ring with the Warriors in Alvin Gentry. You have people who have been, I mean, Derek Favors has been to the playoffs. You know, JJ's been to the playoffs, what, 13 of 13 years? He was the one who said to Zion, don't screw this thing up for me. you know, so a lot of these guys have been to the playoffs. Would they be an underdog? Yeah, but who cares? You know, Ali was an underdog to Sonny Liston. And we know how that turned out twice.
Yeah, that's a great point. Nancy, press and light, I've got one quick question because I want to have your take. What would you like to see happen out of all the formats that you've heard discussed? How would you like to see this season brought back?
I would love it to be brought back, obviously, with health at the forefront of determining what happens in the bubble. I sure would like to see 20 teams. I would like to see some of these fringe teams who have been just, you know, fighting, scratching, clawing, getting healthy. I'd like to see him have a chance. I'd love to see Damian Lillard, one of the most unbelievable human beings, but one of the most incredible players in our league. The Zions. I really would like to be able to see. I believe that there's guys on teams like the Knicks or the Warriors. You know, we are wired, our DNA, to play for something. Nobody wants to play in the consolation game where you don't get anything. Thank goodness they give silver medals and bronze medals. You know what I'm saying? And you get to stand on a podium and bow your head, and it's a magical moment. But we're wired to play for something that matters. It could be t-shirts at Hoop It Up. It could be money at the TBT tournament. It could be millions of dollars in playoff money. I mean, we're wired for the carrot to be in front of us. So I don't know if some guys, I know what the political, you know, the public word would be, but down deep in their soul, I don't want to see guys get hurt because they're not 100% locked in. And at the highest level, you must be locked in physically, emotionally, and mentally. I know this as a fact that somebody who went through the boycott of 1980, you know, when Russia invaded Afghanistan, and we were told, we all watched the press conference from the Olympic Village in, you know, it just Carter getting up there and President Carter saying, you know, we're boycotting the games. It was deflating. Nobody wanted to go to practice the next day. Actually, nobody wanted to go to Romania and play in a tournament that meant nothing. Mm-hmm. That's how you get hurt. So there's a tricky balance here.
Nancy, would you recommend, or would you prefer a play-in tournament, like where the basically the four teams that are right outside of the Memphis Grizzlies get in? Or would you like to see it more expanded, like a World Cup stage, to where, you know, you've got a lot more games?
The World Cup stage. I think as many teams safely that are in competitive proximity should have an opportunity. Or, you know, the worst thing you can do to an athlete is, you know, the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. If I could have gotten in, I would have done this, we should have done that. No, that's horrible. You know what? If you beat me, I have nothing to say. I just have nothing to say. You won fair and square. So if you can get those teams in contention, you know, you have, you know, your top 16 teams that were already, when the season ended, you know, hypothetically in, and then those, you know, teams kind of on the bubble and, you know, create that format. that they have a chance to play in.
Great stuff, Nancy. Thank you so much for the time and your patience. We hope to hear your voice and see your face on our television again soon, hopefully proceeding and following some meaningful games. Anyway, I'll follow up with that later. Thank you again, Nancy. You guys can follow her at Nancy Lieberman, Hall of Famer, both basketball and WNBA. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Be well. God bless you guys.
Yep. Stay safe, Nancy. Thanks.
All right. That's all the time we have for now. Remember, if you like what you're hearing, just retweet, share, rate us on iTunes. Ollie, you got anything, sir?
Nope. Let's just hope the games will start soon.
Sounds good. Let's dance. Let's go, Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.